really, what they're also known as is GPR109A, aka HCA2, which is niacin's innate high affinity. That's what it binds to do its role, and what melatonin regulates in the sense is directly responsible for how much that receptor is regulated for niacin to hit. So if you have high ACE2, this is, and then I'll get into more, high ACE2 is signaling, I'll get into all this, that it's feasting grounds for the virus. These viruses, they're now thermodynamically attracted to people who have more inflammation that they can use for their fitness to replicate, do straight thermodynamic progeny. And so high expressed ACE2, aka the niacin receptor, along with what's known as SRB1, where HDL's scooping cholesterol that leaks out of macrophages back into them to prevent atherosclerosis, also known as the CD36 genetic expression co-receptor of ACE2, which is right next to it. And so this is where the viruses sneak in. The SRB1 is where HDL dumps off cholesterol from blood back into tissue to prevent atherosclerosis. This cholesterol was leaking out of tissue after you accumulate too much inflammation because we don't have enough nutrients, especially these two, in our diet. So what happens, our body keeps this energy in, it doesn't magically disappear, you don't poop and pee it all out, is it, you collect gunk and like triglycerides and esterified cholesterol. So essentially this is, if you have a high ACE2, high SRB1 receptor right there, that's like, us getting a free steak dinner at, Chris Ruth or whatever. We used to go out in the woods and hunt. Now we're going to the supermarket. And so these viruses used to try to look for food, and it was a lot harder until now they've evolved, adapted to find this, to know that this receptor being highly expressed along with SRB1 next to it, this is why you see low HDLs. It's getting used up trying to scoop the cholesterol back into the macrophages. It's what this is screaming, and I'll get into all this, for the virus, like, hey, this guy's got a whole lot of steak dinners and inflammation that's easy for us to get. We're going to sneak in to this HDL cholesterol and this ACE2, and it's the ACE2 screaming, give me niacin, I haven't had niacin my whole life. Oh my God, I have so much inflammation. So essentially, the virus gets in then, all right, and this is why you see low HDL predicting many diseases, and especially driving this SARS-CoV-2 infection into COVID disease pathology from the day one. And I'll tell you about the other risk factors too. So once the virus, it literally, tricks you, it's that receptor, especially those two at the same time being expressed, in macrophages especially, it's like gunky cholesterol, lipid deposits, just straight energy that's very readily accessed. So they get into this cells. And once it gets in, it starts like it's consuming your energy until it reaches the threshold it needs of this energy to double. Excuse me. So as it does this, it literally depletes melatonin. And it makes it a lot easier, and I'll tell you how, it makes it a lot easier also if you already have deficient melatonin coming in, which people, if they have high ACE2 and they've had a lot of inflammation, that inflammation has depleted their melatonin accumulatively. And I'll tell you how it is. And this is why you also see, people with cardiometabolic risk factors in older adults, who've the most now over the life course not had enough melatonin and niacin, these subgroups being most at risk, and low HDL, high triglycerides. So, over the life course, melatonin is something, 95% of melatonin is biosynthesized from tryptophan. From tryptophan from foods and drinks. Many people think melatonin has some kind of regulation of circadian rhythm. Well, only 5% of melatonin, so every single cell is mitochondria. It's the melatonin's biosynthesized from tryptophan. So, but what's released at night, the 5%, it's like 5% recoup from the pineal gland that gets into circulation and gets into cells. So this is mainly because we don't eat or drink when we're sleeping. So it, you know, we have photoreceptors that kind of account for how much maybe, you know, we would need based on exposure in the daytime that was used from tryptophan and 95% in all the cells, to, you know, because we're not eating or drinking at night to recoup that. Nevertheless, so the ones, you know, the de novo biosynthesis of melatonin, 95% of it is from tryptophan getting into cells and, you know, going down the pathway down to serotonin and then melatonin. So next to this, next to that pathway literally is essentially kind of oxidative phosphorylation into the citric acid cycle, like cellular respiration in the mitochondria. So this is the kind of first step in, is this is with energy metabolism, every cell. After you put food or drink in you, and through the liver, and in the circulation and cells. So, pyruvate is the precursor of acetyl-CoA. There's an enzyme called the PDC enzyme. I believe they call it the gatekeeper. The whole purpose of from glycolysis and these intricate reactions, the whole purpose is from then pyruvate, acetyl-CoA, eventually through then the citric acid cycle, and what's made from the citric acid cycle is ADP. ADP is what's made, and I'll tell you the sole purpose of making this ADP, is for niacin, is to express the niacin receptor according to how much ATP or inflammation there is. What our bodies were engineered to do, and even single cell organisms billions of years ago with melatonin and niacin. So with the niacin, it was the ADP is ideally dynamically forward, supposed to be made according to the corresponding volume of ATP. Now, what keeps that going, right? And so imagine now with this inflammation, we are deficient on niacin from diet. If we weren't, and if we weren't on melatonin, Michael Jordan would still be playing in the NBA. So what happens then? So if you rewind pyruvate to acetyl-CoA, that PDC receptor. So if you continue to not make enough ADP, right? And what regulates ADP production is essentially if this inflammation gets too much and if oxidative stress gets too much, that PDC receptor gets damaged, inflamed, its functioning is downregulated. So acetyl-CoA is stunted in its biosynthesis, right? Acetyl-CoA actually regulates, you know, as it goes, then the next steps into the citric acid cycle from pyruvate to acetyl-CoA. Acetyl-CoA also plays another role, a very important role in regulating the AAMAT receptor, which is essentially ultimately from, it allows serotonin to come down, to trickle down, continue to make melatonin. So what happens is inflammation over the life course, because say you didn't have enough niacin to always address it through the ADP, let's even assume there's sufficient melatonin, there's always sufficient ADP made, And that receptor, the ACE2 GPR109A, was always expressed according to, you know, accounting for how much inflammation and assuming there's melatonin to make that corresponding one-to-one function of how much ATP inflammation there is. And that's, so that ADP, assuming there's enough melatonin, is then always dynamically expressing how much inflammation there is. It's used in the development of the degree of the expression of this ACE2 GPR109A receptor. For then niacin there's not enough niacin from diet to deal with new exposures and such and aging. So it's assuming, you know, every second forward that, you know, there should be enough niacin. But so there isn't. But so the inflammation at the same time, you know, so you see then how the oxidative stress kind of can cascade them. And so you'll inflame that PDC receptor, stun acetyl-CoA biosynthesis, which stunts melatonin because of the ANAT receptor being stunted then. So it's stunning melatonin biosynthesis. So what happens then is, it's essentially kind of linking melatonin directly to keeping the citric acid cycle going. That's the definition of essentially antioxidation. That's melatonin's intrinsic role, is to keep that oxidative stress there, to keep the citric acid cycle going, to make, ideally, dynamically, the corresponding amount of ADP, to how much inflammation needs to be, ATP essentially needs to be addressed there. And for that ACE2 niacin GPR109A receptor accordingly to be expressed at that level for niacin, and, you know, for niacin then to always have, you know, be available to hit it and release. And so once the niacin gets into cells, it has this, like, this holy molecule that has an exclusive endothermic processing that once it, and it gets into mitochondria because of that receptor. This endothermic processing, what that entails is that, so niacinamide and other NAD precursors like NR and MN, they do indeed have an endothermic processing and what's synthesized is NAD plus, but that's only in cytoplasm. That's backup. You know, that's why they call it salvage, like just in case. So if you don't have niacin or niacinamide, you get pellagra. It's horrible. So essentially niacin, though, the de novo NAD plus biosynthesis, and alongside with tryptophan, it's supposed to be in a steady state. There's supposed to be, and this, what it does is it's in actual, the niacin and tryptophan and melatonin all get into cells. Mitochondria and niacin also, and, you know, in endoplasmic reticulum, and also it's involved in endolysosomal formation and dictates T cell facilitation, phagocytosis, clearing of all any nanoparticles, toxins, inflammation, pathogens, and I'll get to that. So essentially, over the life course, we don't have enough melatonin from our diets, and just other nutrients are it might be that, you know, a good comparison, I was saying melatonin is niacin's wife, but it might be that the woman here, if you look at chess, where the queen has the power role, and the king's just kind of chilling back, so I would say niacin's like the queen, and melatonin's like the king. So, you know, niacin is the therapy. And then so other nutrients and health behaviors are like rooks, knights, bishops, pawns. But there's, you know, imagine a huge multifaceted, like a exponential chess game with more pieces. So what happens, you know, if you continue, and everyone does imminently, by the laws and principles of thermodynamics and Newtonian physics, and quantum mechanics, you're putting more energy in, even if you tally the calories, and try to exercise it out, it's, you know, you're never going to kind of slow the aging process, slow the process of momentum damaging you, is what you can say, is aging. So what will happen is, you know, your oldest cells in your body, because this is like mitochondria, and even in neurons, like pseudo-mitochondria, every single cell, this receptor is there. So, and it's to do with energy, it's to do with essentially, you know, melatonin is supposed to set niacin up, continue pyruvate to making acetyl-CoA, going all the way down through the citric acid cycle for the sole purpose of making corresponding ADP to how much ATP there is. It's for that ADP to be used for the expression of the GPR109A, aka ACE2 receptor. And with, you know, and note that butyrate is also part of this expression development with ADP in colon and I believe in blood-brain barrier. But nonetheless, it's expecting to hit the niacin always to be, in, you know, dynamically insufficient reservoir almost or intake to that according amount of niacin, then it's going to, you know, that's what's going to hit the receptors. And then once it hits those receptors, niacin has a beautiful, unique endothermic processing to ultimately result in potential energy, a bigger NAD plus and a huge NAADP for endolysosome formation, T cells, antiviral or antipathogenic. It's you know, what you're going from a small molecule to these big ones with more and more intake as niacin gets into cells is practically like exercising in a pill. Because exercise, you have, you know, stable oil bonds. They contain energy. The same exact energy is exactly the same. Its axis is principled upon is the potential, like, or kinetic heat. So potential energy is stored like idleness and contained in the bonds. So there's, if you move them, you release that energy. So it's, you exercise, you release. So it's the same exact energy, but so, say, free radicals, inflammation, this is essentially, they go from higher energy states and thermodynamically upstream at the speed of light towards less energy or, say, other free radicals in orbit. And so this is kind of how inflammation manifests. Nonetheless, so if you make enough, so what you're doing, niacin and then melatonin, allowing it all, you know, at these sweet spot doses, where I'll say, it's melatonin allows niacin to know and for niacin to come in based on this receptor expression how much inflammation it needs to address. And so you address it by forming then potential energy, H plus proton motive force. And so the inflammation is coming down at the speed of light, trying to get inner, and so that's like pro-inflammatory. Anti-inflammatory is you exercise, you break those bonds, and so what I'm trying to say, I guess, to simplify is difference between those energies, potential work energy, kinetic heat energy, inflammation, you know, anti-inflammatory, pro-inflammatory, is just the direction of the force. So you add more potential energy, if it's enough, the junction gets pushed up, and this applies to inflammation, free radicals, toxins, pathogens, nanoparticles. So, imagine over the life course, you can't keep the citric acid cycle going to make enough ADP, and then you don't have enough niacin to even if there was some, you know, as much ADP as needed, it can't, niacin is only going to do so much. So what's going to happen is that PDC receptor is going to get more and more inflamed with more and more oxidative cascades, even nitrogen, free radical nitrogens, just inflammation, and so that'll burn that receptor more. And that's going to essentially slow, there's not, the melatonin is going to decrease then. And so eventually this is kind of like the cancer etiology pathogenesis, where with the Warburg effect, the pyruvate then it moves away from cellular metabolism, from the mitochondria, because just by the thermodynamic pressure, now the receptors like damage. So it moves then and leaves the mitochondria in the cytoplasm and does aerobic glycolysis. And so the entire Warburg effect is this inflammation just overaccumulating to almost, more and more silence that PDC receptor. And with this, melatonin is depleted. So SARS-CoV-2, these spikes have evolved, adapted to, and this, over the life course, this is what happens. This is how, it can happen here, it can happen here, it can happen, from conception. This is this inflammation not being addressed and letting it linger or accumulate more and more and more as you age more and more and more. This is the etiologic mechanism of all human clinical conditions and diseases and aging. So the SARS-CoV-2, again, it targets, it sees people, this guy hasn't had niacin his whole life, his melatonin's draining, he's got all this steak dinners for us. So once it hits the cells, what happens is glutamine depletes. If you look at data, clinical data, but what separates, and so instead of niacin hitting the cells, it's this virus is sneaking. So with this, the niacin drops really quick to try to counter this incoming kind of infarct and pathogen. And it's already, the virus is smart because it knows it's not going to be enough niacin because you're already deficient. It's too much inflammation. So with this, the last step of the niacin to NAD+, from NAD to NAD+, the receptor that connects that is NAD-SYN1, which is glutamine dependent. So rapidly the niacin drops to that NAD+ trips out that NAD-SYN1 receptor, and this trips out glutamine, and so glutamine's getting really, really used up, and then it's just like tripped out and depleted. And so this is, if you look in data, clinical data is published in adults, what separates the adults from, being able to stay in their, at home setting and rough it out versus having to go to like an emergency department setting is glutamine halves. It's like literally 40-something% drop. I've never seen something like this in my life. And so glutamine is the most abundant amino acid, very focal amino acid in just bioenergetic balance, health, and it's, if it does that, what that points to directly, which it does have in adults significantly, unmistakably, and also, there's a clinical study where giving like 10 gram doses prevented, hospitalized patients from ICU and death. So that alone is more significant than most pushed treatment options. But so what explains that, is that niacin depleting so rapidly and it tripping out that receptor and just depleting the glutamine and tripping it out thereafter. And so that's when the virus then gets into the cells. So once it gets into the cells, then it starts thirsting up your inflammation, your ATP, until it reaches a threshold where it's, thermodynamically now you've reached the threshold where it's enough to double and go on to the next cell. So as it's doing this, it's further inflaming that PDC receptor, and you have the hypoxia axis. It's all the pathways of just straight pro-inflammatory, just pro-inflammation like M1. That polar state is just, they're all activated as it's like, imagine it's got little straws, just suck. And so as this is going on, that PDC is getting like hyper-accelerated and inflamed. And so if you have less melatonin, which older adults do because of what I explained, so if you have less melatonin, it makes it even easier then to get your energy. But even say if you have, you know, still some younger people are getting, and you can have low melatonin status coming into life because of through gestation. But nevertheless, it makes it easier than if you have lower melatonin because of this, you know, aggregated inflammation and PDC pre-existingly being, you know, stunted, and less acetyl-CoA and less ADP, and always not sufficient niacin. And so that whole etiological mechanism, biochemical mechanism, kind of, you know, snowballing. So what it does then is, you know, this is the Warburg effect, which is, it's the first pathogenic species ever that, for its replication, the Warburg effect is necessary and sufficient. So if you look at, so, you know, the Warburg effect, you know, this is what, you know, I've known this, but this is what allowed me to unearth the melatonin's critical role in its, in concert cooperation to regulate energy metabolism, health, prevention of disease, epigenetics of mammals, essentially, with niacin. So, once these, what this is like high ACE2, the virus species are going in, they're sucking up your energy, less of melatonin, which people with more inflammation they have, makes it even easier to suck up, more efficient. And so as they do this, the melatonin's just like hyper depleted. And the niacin's, you know, the niacin can get restored, but that's where the problem lies, and that's, say, long haul. So what the virus does is it gets into the cells, sucks your energy up until it reaches a threshold. With this, your melatonin gets just massacred and depleted to hell. Goes on, as soon as it reaches the threshold, the double of energy, it goes on to the next one, like a bad ex-girlfriend. Like it's just used this for the energy on the next one. So it's like a feedback loop with high ACE2. Feed me niacin, I have so much inflammation. And by the way, you know, especially these with SRP1 upregulated, these cholesterol lipid rafts. So, you know, this is like a, you know, a steak dinner of the virus. They've adapted now for their fitness, just like we have to go to the supermarket for our, you know, continuing of kin and generations and, you know, survival of our species. That's how they do it now. That's, you know, so what will happen then is then if you have more and more inflammation, it's like fusion, and you're exasperating this whole pathogenic manifestation of then the disease syndrome, say acute especially, you know, the disease severity this is why people with low HDL, metabolic conditions, obesity, diabetes, you know, hypertension, a sedentary behavior, eat like crap, you know, older adults through this aging process. This is why they're most at risk of getting infection, because the virus is targeting them, and also of more severe progress of symptomatology through acute. And so this is like the cytokine storm is. It's exasperating. It's like fusion. And so, you know, most people are able to, even in hospital, I believe most people are able to rough it out and survive. You know, but the ones who die, de facto, they die because the virus just, it succeeds until it, you know, it just complete organ failure, systematic cell death, and then death of the host, and it goes on in the next one. The problem is, say long haul, where I said, you know, it's doing this, even if it's like not severe symptoms, the virus, you know, if you survive, you've pretty much gotten out of you. What you have remaining is the residual damage, the inflammasomes, in a sense, that continue to linger. that the melatonin stays deprived and many vary deprived. For a while, this is very futuristic health science. I was completely overlooking the role of melatonin. I was now seeing long haulers, a lot of them, but really, really long haulers with really depleted melatonin, which melatonin regulates all gut, microbial, all intestinal health, digestive, maintenance of digestive function. In gastritis, H. pylori, ulceritis, gout, any leaky gut. And so that's what they're kind of essentially had is leaky gut. And that's because the virus really wants to, what it ultimately wants to do is get into your CNS, because that's the most bang buck volume of energy for its success. And so the cytokine storm is kind of a strategy where you can damage the blood-brain barrier through circulation and get in through into the CNS then. Another route is through the colon, through the colon, especially in old cells, if they make, say they're around the colon, as they're replicating the colon, it's depleting the crap out of the melatonin, which is already deficient coming in. Once it does that, this essentially makes the gut leaky, and through the vagus nerve, it can cross into the blood-brain barrier and then into the central nervous system and feast more. It drains melatonin everywhere, but especially, say, the colon. Something's up. Like, if people aren't recovering fully off niacin yet, there's something else going on. And I always had the inference, and I'm pretty much convinced that it's fact that the ACE2 is GPR1 in my name. It was that this receptor it wasn't being re-aroused in those cells. If it's not aroused, the niacin won't, only what it is, if any, it's depreciatively aroused, really short. So most niacin in, say, especially the colon, and which colon, pushes, liver too in the circulation, but colon pushes, many nutrients and compounds through our whole body and into the brain. What I was seeing is, this niacin's not getting into the cells.